This podcast was recorded Thursday, June 26th at 11:07 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like the year 2020 will be half over. Of course, we have another half to go.
How is it only half over?
It can't end soon enough.
Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those shrewd Snollygosters who are looking for your vote. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, our Snollygoster of the week. They used TikTok videos to play a very shrewd move.
That's a very 2020 thing to say. But first, we have our first, or at least our most recent, certainly, good look at how Ohioans are feeling about their choice for president, about their governor, COVID-19, shutdown, the reopening. Anything in here about TikTok, Mike?
Not yet.
I don't think so. And now, how they feel about police as well, certainly a very relevant topic, and what should be done to fight racism.
Yes, Quinnipiac University is out with its latest poll this week, and here are the main takeaways. Here in Ohio, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are basically tied. 70% of Ohioans like the job Mike DeWine is doing. In fact, Democrats, in some cases, like him more than Republicans. We'll get to that in a moment. 7 in 10 Ohioans think it's likely that a new COVID-19 surge will shut down Ohio businesses again, and 80% of Ohioans support police in their community.
Lots to digest here. So here to give us an idea of what exactly is behind these numbers and what they say about the mood of our state in this tumultuous time is Tim Malloy. He's a polling analyst for the Quinnipiac University poll. Tim, welcome to Snollygoster.
Guys, thank you. Good to be here.
So Trump won Ohio by 8 points in 2016. This new poll says Trump and Biden are basically tied. Biden has a 1-point lead, but that's within the margin of error. So this would seem to be good news for Biden at this point, right?
It has to be good news for Biden. And, you know, it's a long way to go, but the numbers are lining up nicely for Biden and badly for the president. And this is not just Ohio. This is all over the country, but certainly in Ohio, which is a hugely important state.
Would Joe Biden be disappointed that he's not up by more than 1 point? Because he's up by, I think, 14 nationally in some polls that I've seen.
You know, good question, possibly. But, you know, we always do these subset questions in the release. Like, Trump does okay on the economy, but on handling a crisis, Biden wallops him. On coronavirus response, Biden crushes him. Healthcare, race relations, Biden knocks it out of the park. So there are other things below just the raw number that tell you that Trump has a problem in Ohio.
Trump leads on the economy, as you mentioned. I found that a little surprising, given that we are in a recession and 1.3 million Ohioans, give or take, have filed for unemployment over the past few months. The economy is certainly not doing well.
It's not, but it's always been the only card he held. He's never done well on any other issue. And as you may recall, at least on the national level, he had like a 70% approval on the economy not long ago before this. So it's a precipitous drop.
Yeah.
Maybe there's just a little hopefulness in that.
Yeah, President Trump can certainly blame the economy issue on coronavirus. The economy was doing just fine until that hit. Ohio has always viewed itself as a swing state, right? As Ohio goes, so goes the nation. No Republican has ever won the office without winning Ohio. We also have a very red state government here right now. Do you think this kind of reinstills the idea that Ohio is indeed a swing state?
Yeah, no, we're looking at it as a swing state. Absolutely. We do swing state polls, so we'll be back in Ohio doing it for that reason. This is one of the three or four top most important states. We can't say you have to win it. You can't say Trump has to win it, but they darn well are worried. They'll be worried if it looks like they're not going to.
And as we hear over and over and over again, no Republican has won the presidency without winning Ohio. So Democrats have won it without winning Ohio, but Republicans have not. So, and we'll hear that cliche again, which is a fact over the next few months. You know, if you're looking at into the numbers, it's just striking the divide. 92% of Republicans back Trump, 93% of Democrats back Joe Biden. It's just incredible. The numbers just prove what we all know is out there, is that we are a very divided country right now and state.
Divided and a little bit on fire these days. I mean, you throw a few other horrendous crises on top of that, and boy, it's an interesting time.
Joe Biden did not really beat Trump in terms of favorability. The Biden at 42, Trump at 43, so both within the margin of error there. Were you surprised at all by that, that more Ohioans, yeah, they view Trump and Biden the same in terms of favorability?
We were a little surprised at that. Favorability is an interesting word, though, because it kind of is all-encompassing. I mean, you could factor in his age, his stumbles. It may not be all policy. It may be that minor...
Just looks bad on TV. Chart.
Yeah. It can be a lot of things. Whereas approval is he doing a good job? So, yeah, but still a little surprised at that, because Biden has sort of the good guy vibe, at least we believe has been projected.
Democrats,
I think he got hurt by that. Yeah.
Democrats have to look at that number and worry about enthusiasm. If folks,
yeah, I think that's a very good point. That may be it. You know, people like him, but they're not exactly shouting from the rooftops for him.
Yeah, and he's been literally in his basement for the past few months. He's getting out more now, but
every now and then he goes to get groceries at least or something.
I don't know if he's doing that. He's publicly.
He's pretty tan. He has to go outside some.
Yeah. Well, Trump's pretty tan.
Also
all
as
through the winter.
Tim Malloy from Quinnipiac University's Polling Institute joining us. As we said, this poll also talks about Governor Mike DeWine, who has really seized the spotlight during this pandemic. His approval rating at an all-time high.
He's probably the most popular governor in America right now. We were kicking this around. You know, we did New Jersey, Connecticut, and New York governors a few weeks ago, and they were all about 68%, 70%. We hadn't seen a number like 75. And this is a Republican governor as you mentioned before, the Democrats like him.
Yeah.
So it's because of how he's handled the coronavirus, clearly.
Yeah, on the way he's handling the coronavirus, your polls show that 88% of Democrats approve how he's handled it. Only, I use those terms with air quotes, only 74% of Republicans approve. So, you know, that's a healthy margin difference
it's
there.
Interesting, too. We were also talking about that. You know, he's a lot of time on with Anderson Cooper. He's very good on television. I mean, not to diminish any other gifts he may have, but he's been on a lot of it hasn't just been Fox News. So he's been out there and looking in control.
Oh, they're not on as often as they used to be, but 2 o'clock was appointment viewing
wine,
and listening.
Wine with DeWine.
Wine with DeWine, his briefings. And I don't know if you've seen any of them, but, you know, they, you know, we get our ratings here at the radio station and at the TV station. We have a TV station under our umbrella as well. And that was by far, not even close, our most popular hour of the day, between 2 and 3 o'clock when Governor DeWine was on. And he starts off by saying he's wearing a tie from a certain college or university in the state, and then he congratulates. He's got 8 kids and I don't know how many dozen grandkids.
It was the folk hour radio.
So everyone had a birthday almost every day, you know. So he would wish that person a birthday, and you know. But, you know, it was that sort of folksy, down home, your grandfather trying to make things better. And it really became very popular. From a journalistic standpoint, we would gnash our teeth saying, let's get to the news. But people, listeners, viewers really enjoyed those every day. So that's bad. I think that helped his popularity.
You know, being good on TV can carry you a long way.
Yeah, it really
did. Who's in the White House?
You mentioned Governor DeWine's popularity right now tied to his handling of the coronavirus. This poll also talks about the coronavirus. 60% of Ohioans say the reopening and the lifting of DeWine's restrictions was about right. 19% think that it came too fast. 19% say not quickly enough. Also, 70% think we'll have to shut down businesses again. And that's a pretty jarring number. 70% think we're going to have to do this again.
Well, take a look what's going on around the country right now. Yeah. Louisiana, Florida, where I live, it's back. If it's not back, it's showing up. We're learning things we didn't know about it. And, you know, I'm not saying that'll happen in Ohio, but I think people are wary in the second wave thing. And the fact that younger people are getting it now, it's still very much a menace, you know. So that might be why that number is so high.
The state really has hit that perfect Goldilocks level. Not too high, not too hot, not too cold, just right. When you see a poll where it's 60% say we're doing it right, and basically 20% say too cold, 20% too hot, that really is that Goldilocks point that I think all elected leaders are going for, correct?
Right, and how long will that last? That's really going to be the question. Hopefully forever, but better numbers eventually.
One of the most divisive things in America right now is the wearing of masks. You did not ask about the wearing of masks. Why was that?
I don't know. We should have, probably. We did it in the national polls, and we've done it before. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you that. It wasn't like an intentional omission. It's an important.
Yeah, your poll was pretty long. I mean, you don't want to go too long. You want to keep
people on
the phone.
Yeah, that's the other thing. We were jamming a lot into these. Mm-hmm. But universally, Americans and all the states and the nationals that we've done, they think people should wear masks, and I think the president should be wearing a mask.
Do they think government should mandate wearing a mask? Because that's kind of the next thing that's coming up in some cities in particular.
Yeah, we didn't ask that question, but yeah. I live down in Florida, and now there's a county where I'm in Palm Beach County, and they're mandating it. That doesn't mean you have to do it. It means you know, a cop can come up and yell at you, you get dirty looks. Nobody's going to get arrested for not wearing a mask in Palm Beach County anyway.
It's kind of the way these orders have been. Like, even the orders that DeWine issued were not really orders. They were strong recommendations. Yeah. But it does raise the level of awareness, and it's sort of like the seatbelt mandate when they first started coming out. Even though you wouldn't be arrested or stopped for that, it sort of raised the level, and more people would wear them, and hopefully more people are wearing the masks.
Tim Malloy from Quinnipiac University's Polling Institute joining us now on Snollygoster. Tim, if there is anything in America right now more controversial than coronavirus and wearing masks, it is the state of policing. And you focused on that in this poll as well. And there were some things that I found really surprising. More than 8 in 10 voters approve of the way police in their community are doing their job, while 16% disapprove. And I know that Ohio is a largely white state, and these answers did differ a lot based on race. But I was still surprised that 8 in 10 approve of their police.
You have to wonder if maybe this whole movement to get rid of all police departments, start all over again. I don't really agree the word was used, but I think it was misinterpreted rather than kind of tweak the departments. And I think everybody was afraid that, all right, well, we're going to start all over. There aren't going to be police. We're going to have to do this ourselves. I don't think it was good messaging on the people who were the opponents of the police or the police handling the thing. That may be it. But, but you know, this number is pretty much in line with other numbers we've seen.
But you,
please, they don't want their police departments taken.
People like their neighborhood cops when they, presumably white people, especially in this poll, they're fine with the state of their policing.
Yeah, but
and if you're an African American in Ohio, you're afraid of the police.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you did dig a little deeper when they asked whether police officers are held accountable for misconduct. That was 50-50. 46% say yes, 50% say no. So. That's different than 80% overwhelming support for your community police. So folks are basically saying, I support my police department, but they need some work. Is that a good way to read that?
Well, I think so, and I think the advent of cameras on cops. I mean, we can now see things that happen for better or worse, and that's probably a big part of it. I mean, if the cop commits a crime, you see it.
So,
or if the cop does not, you see it.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah. I mean, and we're going to see more of that, I think, as body cameras become more and more mandatory and less tolerance for police not having them operate properly, things like that. I think that's one change we're going to see here. What's your overall takeaway from all of the things, all of the questions you asked in this poll? How would you characterize Ohio's voting public right now? Can you answer that from this?
Well, certainly concerned about the coronavirus because I'm not going to use the word terrified, but there's a lot of fear out there. Very confident in a governor with possibly the best approval rating in the country. Not in love with the president nor Biden, but clearly the nod goes to Biden when you look at the subset question on how to handle a crisis, coronavirus response, healthcare, race relations. I think overall Trump's in trouble in Ohio. And Mike DeWine is a hero.
Your poll is registered voters. How hard is it going to be to get down to likely voters between now and November because of coronavirus and people's reluctance to go to the polls and mail-in voting and all the things that are going on? Is it going to be hard to get down to likely voters?
I think everything's hard now. You know, we do this. We used to have a calling center with 150 people and right on the campus of Quinnipiac University, and now we're doing it all remotely, and it's just really a nightmare. I mean, we're doing a good job with it, but it's... first of all, it's very costly compared to the other way. And it's kind of trying to be a pollster.
Yeah.
I just don't build them, I fly them, but I know what these guys are going for to try to get the answers.
But you're back doing polling in Ohio now, I guess, because for a while they looked like you scaled back. So that's good news for us in the news business. We'll get a good barometers from you guys because you guys have a very reputable poll. So,
thank you.
What are the other swing states you're polling this year?
I don't know what I'm going to do with Texas, Florida, Pennsylvania.
How hot is it to be polling Texas?
We just did a Texas poll. You guys can look it up.
Yeah, but do you normally have Texas in your list of states?
No, we did it about a year and a half ago. We started doing Texas, and it was pretty much a dead tie in Texas between Biden and Trump.
Wow,
which was pretty surprising.
Yeah,
for Trump.
It's a strange time, and we still have 4 months to go.
Tim Malloy from Quinnipiac University's Polling Institute. Thanks for joining Snollygoster. We'll be right back.
On All Sides with Ann Fisher, we cover the topics that affect life in Central Ohio, from immigration to the economy to the continuing opioid crisis.
But the reality is if you don't save someone who's overdosed, they have no opportunity to recover.
Hear thoughtful, in-depth conversations about the issues that matter now. Subscribe to the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Snollygoster. I'm Mike Thompson along with Steve Brown. We are going to award our Snollygoster of the Week award right now. This is the award that goes to the shrewdest political move or the shrewdest politician of the past 7 days. And this time we're going to award it to young people. Apparently, young people used social media and the latest tools to mess with Donald Trump's first campaign rally in months, the one that occurred in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, we often award this award to Donald Trump, right? He's very shrewd, I think we could say in general, whether you like him or not. He's very... very savvy, right? He's very
whether that savviness is intentional.
He doesn't
or not,
have a lot
remains
of
to be seen.
He doesn't have a lot of boundaries, and apparently neither do some young users of TikTok. That's the video social media app. Users also on TikTok are claiming some credit for the disappointing turnout at the president's rally in Tulsa this week. They claim to have led an effort where 1 million people said they plan to attend this rally, and then 6,200 showed up.
Yeah, I'm not sure I completely believe it, but. That's what the Trump campaign is saying. They messed with it, and they're taking credit for it. So if it happened, even in some degree, they are definitely deserving of the award for the shrewdest political move of the week.
I am not on TikTok, but I am on Twitter and Facebook, and I did see some politically motivated young people who said they took part in this effort, that they registered for the event, said they were going to come, and they did not because they live in Central Ohio. But it's fun. It's an interesting story either way.
I mean, it's just— you don't say that 1 million people are going to come to your rally. That expectation is so high. Even if you get 800,000, you didn't meet expectations.
He doesn't care. What does he care?
I know. It's all about the numbers.
Anyway.
We're going to be off next week.
We are.
So enjoy the 4th of July holiday weekend. Watch fireworks from past years on your television. Don't be setting off your own. Your fingers and your dog and your neighbor's dog will thank you.
Yeah, Mike and I differ on this. Set off your own if you want. Just
all
be
right.
careful.
I have a few in my drawer.
Thanks to our audio extraordinaire, Eric French, our student assistant, Jack Long, and our web expert, Michael DeBonis.
Yes, thank you all.
Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.